Hello and welcome to our program, the AARP Bulletin, brought to you by OWL Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I'm Liz Etemati, and during the next half hour, I will be reading articles from the AARP Bulletin here on OWL Radio. Our first article is In the News Special Report, What's New, What's Next? Medicine savings could start this year as laws take effect, by Dina Bunis. Enrolled in Medicare and want to avoid shingles? Good news. As of January 1st, the Shingrix vaccine is free for enrollees with a Part D prescription drug plan. Before this year, that two-dose vaccine could run over $200 per dose. Enrolled in Medicare and need insulin for your diabetes? More good news. Also, as of January 1st, your copay for a 30-day supply of insulin covered by your Medicare Part D plan is now capped at $35. During the pandemic, when insulin shortages emerged, a month's supply could cost hundreds of dollars. These benefits are the first to reach consumers as a result of landmark legislation signed into law in August that aims to reduce pharmaceutical costs. While they might seem modest in scope and affect only people on Medicare, broader reforms taking effect over the next few years promise significant savings for far more Americans, a victory which AARP long fought for. But because the drug price changes were part of a much larger legislative package, public awareness of them is low. Here are answers about what changes are planned, as well as what else likely will be in motion in 2023 in the quest to lower medicine costs. Are other parts of the new law taking effect this year? Yes. Starting in 2023, drug makers who raise prices more than the general inflation rate will have to pay Medicare a rebate for the amount above the inflation rate. Another main feature of the new law allows Medicare to negotiate prices for a limited number of highly prescribed drugs on behalf of the entire program. The first step will happen this year as the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services determines which drugs will be negotiated based on a set of criteria included in the law. While there's been no word on the specifics so far, the ultimate goal is to focus over time on the 100 drugs that Medicare spends the most dollars on each year. New prices resulting from the negotiations will take effect in 2026. Why is drug negotiation seen as important? Until now, negotiating for the best drug prices was left to individual Medicare Part D plans. By negotiating on behalf of tens of millions of beneficiaries, Medicare officials believe they can achieve billions in savings. Those dollars could then be applied to lower everyone's premiums, fund other benefits, shore up the program's long-term health, or make other program improvements. What other changes are built into the new law? There are a few that are certain to have a big impact on older Americans. In 2024, once a Medicare Part D enrollee reaches the catastrophic coverage spending threshold, they will no longer have to pay any out-of-pocket costs. Experts project that threshold to be $7,750 by 2024. Previously, they would have to pay 5% of their drug costs above the threshold with no limit. That is a stepping stone to the bigger reform that starts in 2025, a $2,000 a year cap on out-of-pocket prescription drug spending for all Part D Medicare enrollees. Currently, there are no limits on how much Part D enrollees have to pay out-of-pocket. I'm not on Medicare yet. Is there anything in the law to help me? Maybe. The new law continues to help those who purchase health insurance on the individual market by extending until the end of 2025 the Affordable Care Act premium subsidies that were instituted under the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021. This means no one will have to pay more than 8.5% of their annual income for an ACA insurance plan. Are other federal laws or actions in the works to lower drug prices? President Joe Biden has said he plans to again ask Congress to put the $35 insulin out-of-pocket cap on all insurance plans, not just Medicare. Beyond that, there isn't any other significant drug-related legislation on the docket. What's happening with drug importation? Six states, Colorado, Florida, Maine, New Hampshire, New Mexico, and Vermont, have passed laws that would allow residents to order drugs from another country, mainly Canada. Five of them have applied to the federal government for approval to start their programs, but all are waiting for a decision by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. This agency needs to be sure that the imported drugs meet U.S. standards. There is no word yet on when the FDA will rule on those applications. And finally, how are states participating in the fight to lower drug costs? Over the past 5 years, more than 240 measures have been passed across all 50 states that relate to the high cost of medications. The laws involve drug importation, the creation of drug affordability boards that monitor and act on drug price increases, and capping out-of-pocket costs of some drugs, most notably insulin. For ongoing updates on the fight to lower prescription drug prices, as well as ways to get involved, go to aarp.org/drugprices. America's War Against Heart Disease by Sari Harar. Five amazing facts about the human heart. Number one, the blood vessels in your heart are the most likely to clog. The reasons? Blood flows in two directions in many arteries, which creates turbulence that can damage artery walls. This makes it easier for plaque to set in. And coronary arteries have lots of branches and bends, which are prime real estate for atherosclerosis. Two, nearly half of all heart attacks have no symptoms, according to a 2016 Wake Forest University study. No symptom attacks were more common in men, but deadlier in women. Number three, the best food for your heart? It might be bananas. In a 2020 analysis of studies involving more than 4 million people, bananas were associated with a 24% lower risk for coronary heart disease. But all produce helps. People who munched the most fruit and vegetables had 11% less cardiovascular disease than those who ate the least. Number four, spare parts for your heart may come from outer space. In 2020, NASA blasted cardiac stem cells into space for an Emory University study seeking to find out whether they would become beating heart muscle cells faster in zero gravity conditions. The stem cells became heart cells in just 3 weeks. Researchers hope to use them for heart failure repairs, a therapy that could require up to 150 million cells per treatment. And number five, a great sport for your heart? Grab a racket. A study that tracked over 80,000 adults for 9 years found that tennis and badminton cut risk for fatal cardiovascular disease by 59%. Swimming and aerobics lowered the odds by 41 and 36%, respectively. Distance running was less effective, and in fact, some research suggests it could have a negative impact. Four questions to ask your doctor about your heart. Question: how's my blood pressure? 40% of Americans don't know their blood pressure numbers, and 64% don't know what those numbers mean. Normal blood pressure is less than 120 over 80. If that top number is 120 to 129, that's elevated. If the top number is 130 or higher, or the bottom number is above 80, that's considered high. Question: what are my target cholesterol numbers and how do I measure A total cholesterol level under 200 is considered normal, but the best levels of heart-threatening low-density lipoproteins, LDLs, and triglycerides depend on your age, gender, and whether you have other heart risks like diabetes. No wonder half the people with high cholesterol in a recent survey said they were confused about the best cholesterol level for them and how to get there. Question: can you refer me to a dietitian? 59% of heart doctors say nutrition help can improve heart health as much as medications do. But in a 2021 study, 71% of doctors admitted they refer fewer than 10% of their patients to a registered dietitian. If your doctor isn't helpful, you can search for a dietitian in your area through the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics at eatright.org. That's eatright.org. Question: is it time to see a cardiologist? Your primary care doctor will likely refer you to a cardiologist if you have serious risk factors for heart disease. But speak up and ask about one if you have a family history of heart disease or a condition called hereditary cardiac amyloidosis, where specific abnormal proteins build up in the heart and other organs. AARP has a nutrition plan to help keep you leaner, stronger, and healthier. Our next article is called Eat for a Powerful Heart. It was written by Stephen Perrine with Heidi Skolnick. Your heart doctor may ask if you're avoiding saturated fat or what you're doing to control your weight, but doctors seldom ask, are you taking care of your muscles? We lose about 5% of our total muscle mass every decade after age 30, but science shows that those who retain muscle as they age lower their risk of metabolic syndrome, obesity, diabetes, and inflammation, all of which are risk factors for heart disease. That's why AARP developed the Whole Body Reset, a program designed to stop and reverse age-related muscle loss and weight gain. The primary cause of age-related muscle loss is anabolic resistance. Essentially, we can't turn the protein that we eat into muscle as efficiently as we did when we were younger. In order to overcome this resistance, we need higher doses of protein at each meal, 25 grams at a time for women, or 30 grams for men. Anything less than that, and your body remains in muscle loss mode. Fat starts to win out, and heart health suffers. In addition to protein, we need a mix of high-fiber grains, high-nutrient fruits and vegetables, and healthy fats to keep heart-harming, fat-promoting inflammation under control. Here's your plan. Number one, eat 25 to 30 grams of protein at each meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Make sure every snack you eat has at least some protein as well. Cheese on that cracker, peanut butter with that apple. Women should aim for at least 75 to 100 grams of total protein every day, while men should shoot for at least 90 to 120 grams. Two, up your intake of high-fiber grains, cereals, and beans. In one study following over 2,700 people, women who ate the least amount of fiber were 2.9 times as likely to die from inflammatory diseases such as heart disease. And research has found that for every additional 10 grams of fiber you eat per day, you reduce your risk of stroke by 12%. Number three, eat more colorful fruits and vegetables. Aim for 8 to 10 small servings a day. Fruits and vegetables provide fiber, as well as vitamins, minerals, and thousands of micronutrients called phytochemicals. As we age, our ability to extract these nutrients from food diminishes, and that's another reason why inflammation increases. Number four, Enjoy healthy fats and oil from seafood, nuts, seeds, olives, and avocados. 2 servings a day will help keep you lean and sharp, whether you're enjoying a serving of salmon, a spoonful of peanut butter, some chips and guacamole, or toasty bread dipped in extra virgin olive oil. 5, focus on fortified dairy. Worry more about getting enough calcium-rich dairy than about whether it's low fat or not. One study found that those who ate 3 servings of whole fat dairy had lower risks of heart disease and stroke than those who ate 1 serving. Dairy also delivers muscle-building protein. 6, don't drink your calories or chemicals. In particular, don't think you're doing yourself a favor by drinking diet sodas. They've been linked to an increased risk of heart disease, dementia, and stroke. Keep it simple with filtered water, sparkling water, tea and/or coffee. And it's fine to add a little milk. Your AARP state news for Texas. Being prepared. Nearing the 2-year anniversary of the deadly winter storm that led to power outages for millions of Texans, AARP Texas is pushing for reforms to help protect residents during natural disasters. The 2023 legislative session is underway, and AARP will urge state lawmakers to create a funding mechanism to ensure that medically vulnerable Texans, such as those who rely on electricity-dependent devices, have access to backup power in case of widespread power outages. AARP Texas is also seeking a law that would require long-term care facilities to have adequate backup power sources. In 2021, 246 people died in Texas as a result of the February storm, and the majority were age 60 or over, according to the Texas Department of State Health Services. Databank USA, poverty up for 65 and older. In 2021, more than 1 in 10 older Americans lived in poverty, the highest level in 2 decades. The poverty threshold for a 2-person over 65 household was gross income of $16,379 or less. That included wages, Social Security, pensions, and other income, but not capital gains or non-cash benefits. The poverty rate of those 65 and older in 2021, the state with the lowest percentage was Wyoming, which was 6.7%, the highest Louisiana with 14.1%, and somewhere in the middle but near the top, Texas with 11.8%. Medicare Made Easy by Dina Bunis. A subscriber writes, I'm turning 65 and have health insurance through my wife's job. Can I wait until she retires in a few years to sign up for Part B without a late penalty? And how do I prove I was covered? As long as your spouse's employer has 20 or more employees, Medicare generally would consider her health coverage creditable, meaning that it is a qualifying comprehensive policy, and you can delay signing up for Part B until she retires without any penalty. Typically, you will have 8 months from her retirement date to sign up. But if your spouse works for a firm with fewer than 20 workers, Medicare will be considered your primary health coverage once you reach 65 and you'll need to enroll in Part B. Her policy will then serve as supplemental insurance to fill in any cost gaps. If you don't enroll in Part B, which covers doctor visits and outpatient services under those circumstances, you'll incur a late enrollment penalty when you do. As to your second question, when you sign up for Medicare Part B, you simply need to provide written evidence that you had been insured by a group health plan to avoid late enrollment penalties. The primary way is to have the employer fill out a CMS L 564 form that confirms you were enrolled. The employer would return that form to you and you would submit it. You can also submit various other proof of insurance documents, such as an email from the employer or the insurer confirming you had been enrolled. One final note, if your spouse decides to return to work and gets creditable health coverage at her new job, you can pause your Medicare Part B benefits and enroll in her new plan. When she retires again, you can re-enroll in Medicare Part B with no penalties via the same method. Another subscriber writes, I belong to a Medicare Advantage plan that covers my prescription drugs. If I switch to Original Medicare in the future and I need a Part D prescription drug plan, will I face a late enrollment penalty? If you drop your Medicare Advantage plan and sign up for Original Medicare, you will be able to enroll in a Part D prescription drug plan without incurring a late enrollment penalty. You have two chances to switch. During Medicare's annual open enrollment period, which always runs from October 15th to December 7th, or during the annual Medicare Advantage open enrollment period from January 1st to March 31st. You'll need to enroll in a Part D plan at the same time you make the switch, unless you have other creditable prescription drug coverage, such as from a retiree health plan. If you don't enroll right away, you would be subject to a late enrollment penalty that grows the longer you delay. An article from Your Life section, Where's the Cashier? More retailers ask customers to place orders or check out on their own, by Lexi Pandel. Fast food restaurants want you to order your meal by entering it on a touchscreen. Supermarkets would prefer that you scan your own groceries at checkout. Many parking garages have long abandoned parking attendants. The cashless society is one thing, but are you prepared for the clerkless society? It's a long-standing effort to figure out how to peel away bits of labor cost and figure out how they can get customers to do more of the work, says Christopher Andrews, a sociologist at Drew University and author of The Overworked Consumer, Self-Checkouts, Supermarkets, and the Do-It-Yourself Economy. Though some self-service systems accept cash through bill readers, the popularity of paying with credit cards, debit cards, and other digital payments has made self-service more viable, but this doesn't make it more desirable. Machines can be glitchy, items can be difficult to scan, and the systems are typically slower than human cashiers. When we're waiting in line, we're keenly aware of time passing. When we're physically doing things, time seems to move faster. But in fact, customers scan items more slowly than a cashier. We don't know where the UPC codes are, or we don't have all the codes for the produce memorized, Andrews says. The human cashier is familiar with all of it. Though younger consumers are growing up with self-checkout and may expect it, older Americans lived through this transition and are rightfully skeptical of it. They say, wait a minute, is my food cheaper? What's in this for me? Retailers have deployed self-checkout with mixed results. Walmart has pushed many of its stores to primarily rely on such stations or scan-and-go apps, where customers use their phone to scan items as they shop. But Wegmans grocery stores shut down their scan-and-go option in late 2022 due to an increase in shoplifting. Andrews says we're unlikely to see self-checkout and robots taking over our shopping experiences entirely because people put a value on being served by another person. And finally, the funny papers. Can you guess the real 2022 stories from the fake ones? Here's a hint, 6 of them are real. Fast-thinking doctor used electric car to defibrillate man in parking lot. Redheads receive free movie tickets during record heat wave in the UK. Bank teller got fired for setting the clocks forward to go home earlier. Woman sued man for $10,000 for standing her up on a date. Painting at a German museum was discovered to have been hanging upside down for more than 75 years. National Park Service begged parkgoers to stop licking toads. 100-year-old twins who were born 2 minutes apart also died 2 minutes apart. Chess-playing robot grabbed its young opponent during a match. Huge hot fudge sundae was denied world record title because a judge was texting while it partially melted. They're often more vulnerable than most to the sun's rays. The bank, fake. The date, real. The Michigan woman claimed emotional distress. The art, real. The work by an abstract Dutch artist was also displayed the wrong side up at New York's Museum of Modern Art. The toads, real. The Sonoran Desert toad secretes a potent toxin. The twins, fake. The bath, real. The man had feared that he would fall ill if he ever used soap and water. The chess, real. The incident occurred in Moscow. The 7-year-old boy's finger was broken, and the sundae was fake. And I'll leave you now with a few quotables. From bebop to doo-wop to hip-hop to TikTok, you gotta go to know, so that's what I'm doing. Composer and producer Quincy Jones, 89, on joining the social media platform. I've always been averse to the quote, act your age. The older I get, the more I try to embrace my inner kid. Sylvester Stallone, 76. I'm not 25, so why should I be trying to look 25? I've had children. I have all this life experience. Supermodel Cindy Crawford, 56. This word, anti-aging, has to be struck. I am pro-aging. I want to age with intelligence, grace, dignity, and verve and energy. Jamie Lee Curtis, 64, recipient of AARP's 2022 Movies for Grown-Ups Career Achievement Award. After a while, I quit listening to folks telling me what I can't do. All that does is motivate me more to do it. Dusty Baker, 73, of the Houston Astros, who won his first World Series as manager. When doubt or fear begins to take hold of your spirit, let determination cover your body like a quilt on a winter night. Actress Angela Bassett, 64. And finally, I have always been busy all my life. If I don't do anything significant for a whole day, then I kind of feel depressed at night. Celebrity chef Jacques Pepin, 87. You have been listening to the AARP Bulletin on OWL Radio. You can listen to OWL Radio on our specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at www.owlradio.org. Thank you for listening. This program will be replayed after 9 p.m. this evening. This is Liz Etemati saying goodbye from OWL Radio.